Varicosity Vein Center, providing vein treatment relief for vein disease, spider veins, and varicose veins for over 20 years. Their team of doctors and vein specialists deliver techniques and care for residents in Jackson, Madison, Ridgeland, and Central Mississippi. Information and appointment scheduling at varicosityveincenter.com.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast.
Deep South Dining is the show all about the culture of Southern flavor. From fried chicken and collard greens to shrimp and grits and a glass of sweet tea. Subscribe now to the podcast using any podcast app or download our MPB public media app.
Good morning. Ain't it a great morning outside? I mean, it's going to rain, but that's what we like because we've planted stuff that needs some water. Hey, y'all, I'm horticulturist Felder Rushing, and the host of the Gestalt Gardener, me and Java Chapman, my awesome producer. We've been on the road, and we're going to be coming back just a few minutes after a little bit of news and talk with you about what's going on or not in your garden. Here it is, April, a lot of weirdness going on, a lot of stuff still left over for winter damage, a lot of hope. People are planting stuff. There's interesting things you're uncovering in the garden, some of which you may not really like that much. But if you've got anything you'd like to talk about that's related to gardening, indoors or out, lawn care, vegetables, does not matter. We're going to talk about it, me and Java and all the folks at MPB. Kevin Farrell's in there. He's our phone greeter today. Love a new title for. We're going to be talking about gardening. And if you've got anything on your mind, bring it on. Bring it on. I don't try to sell you anything, but if there's something I can help you with and needs a product or doesn't need a product or is a product really not that good an idea or something you hadn't thought about. I'm retired extension horticulturist. I don't try to sell anything. I just try to keep it to the facts the best I can, but I ameliorated a little bit with having been a pretty good, solid, average gardener with failures and successes like everybody else. Wasp stings on my hand. And we can talk about it. Java, how you doing this morning, man?
Oh, man, I'm doing good. A little bit of the rain, but you know, hey, right. It is what it is.
And rain is good. Well, unless you're a farmer, hadn't got it all in yet. But, you know, I got a whole lot of stuff planted this past week and, you know, doing stuff. And so I could use a good rain.
Good. You came in here with a little peculiar, I guess I can say, wound.
Oh, yeah.
Morning.
Yeah, I was up on my roof fixing a hole, you know, it sounded like a Beatles song or something, fixing a hole in the roof. And while I was up there, I was minding my own business. I was scrubbing a little spot because it's a tin roof and making it shiny. I was going to put this Flex Seal stuff on it and all that. And a wasp out that came from, you know, yards away and said, "I don't think you're supposed to be up here, son." And it hit me hard on my hand. I almost jumped out of it. It looked like one of those cartoon characters that, you know, explodes and comes back together.
Yeah.
But it's all nice and puffy. And, you know, when you're an old guy like me, Java, an itchy hand, that's kind of like a buzz. And we like to get them wherever we can find them. We do have a whole lot of stuff to talk about, though, interesting stuff. But mostly it's about you. What do you want to call and talk about that's going on in your garden? And I brought in a few things to talk about, a couple of things to share, and the answer to a question nobody really asked. But let's start out right off the bat, going as far north as we can in Mississippi to South Haven. Good morning, Rebecca. How are you?
Good morning, Felder. I've got a question for you. I haven't heard anybody ask on here.
Okay.
But asparagus.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why I'm asking. One of my buddies 3 years ago was in Lowe's, and they had the asparagus marked down, and she looked it up, said it needed full sun, and she planted it by her gas meter because that's the only place she had full sun.
Okay.
And this year, she's eating it every day.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I was here 3 years ago. I could have done that. Is it that easy?
Well,
it's 3 years to trick to it, right?
Well, it's really not. Asparagus is pretty easy to grow. Matter of fact, I grow a plant called asparagus fern. You've probably seen that in hanging baskets in my garden, and it comes back even after this winter, and it is an asparagus. If you look, it is an asparagus. Here's the deal, though. The further north you go, the better it grows. It doesn't really like our hot, humid summers. It really doesn't like our real fickle winters. It wants to get cold and stay cold. And not only that, but because of all of the heavy rain, it can rot real easy because it's sort of like monkey grass. As a matter of fact, it's the same family as monkey grass. If you bury it too deep like they do up north, it'll rot here. So if she worked it up and got pretty good drain soil and didn't plant it too deep and cover it with mulch, it'll do fine.
She said she can eat it every day until it gets hot. And then you'll do it again next year. I mean, you don't have to plant it again next year.
No, it's just like
again next year.
It's like eating the leaves off of monkey grass. You know, monkey grass puts up all its leaves mostly in the spring and just sort of sits there the rest of the year. And same thing.
If it does as well as monkey grass, then
No. I didn't say as well. I said sort of like. It grows like monkey grass. It's a clump of stuff, sends up leaves, mostly in the spring. It stops, and all those leaves toughen up, and they stay there till the next year. It doesn't keep putting on leaves all summer is what I'm saying. So like monkey grass, puts up all its leaves in the spring, early summer, and the difference is with asparagus, we eat some of the leaves, and we leave some to feed the plant. She needs to leave some, or else the plant's not going to be able to feed itself and make more for next year. So she needs to stop. After she's had her fill. Does that make sense?
So, now, monkey grass is a bulb.
It's
a lily, right?
But it's not a bulb. It's a lily. But, not all lilies are bulb. Monkey grass is you know how daylilies grow?
Yes.
Same thing. They got crowns, not bulbs. So anyway, the bottom line is, if you don't plant it too deep and you mulch it really well to keep its roots cool in our hot summertime, and you leave some of the leaves alone at a certain point so it can feed itself and grow, it does fine. Not as well as up north, but it does fine. You know, when I'm in England, I walk across a field of asparagus, as far as you can see, rows of asparagus, and they harvest it. Leave it alone the rest of the year. Next year, they got all they can dig.
Man. All right. The trick is the 2 or 3 years it takes to make.
She bought some small plants to begin with. You can buy ready-to-go grow plants. But just like monkey grass, you plant a little clump of monkey grass, it's going to sit there the first year. Next year it gets bigger. Same. It grows just like monkey grass. That's what I'm saying. And right at first, it doesn't look like much, but it gets a little bigger every year. Same thing. So the patience.
Should be the definition of slow gardening.
Slow gardening doesn't mean taking your time. It means savoring what you do. And if you can grow asparagus, if you only get one or two spears a year, you're going to feel a whole lot better about yourself. And asparagus, it's a pretty fur. But after a while, she needs to stop harvesting it, leave some of those things as tall fern-looking things, because that sends energy down for next year's crop. In other words, don't use up all of her gas.
All right. Thank you very much.
You bet. Appreciate it. asparagus. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. By the way, there are different kinds of asparagus, just like there are different kinds of tomatoes. And if you want the best of it, you need to look for varieties. You know, do a little research ahead of time. Don't just get what they're throwing away at Lowe's. But there are varieties that are male. They don't make the little flowers and the berries, so they make more spears. Just a stupid thing to know. Hey, let's slide up just north of the state line to Memphis and talk to Wilma. Wilma, how are you this morning?
Good morning.
Howdy.
I've got 3 oak trees in the yard.
Uh-huh.
I have got numerous baby oak trees growing in my bed. About 90% of the ones I try to pull up end up breaking off. What's going to happen? Are they going to just die? Or are they going to send up new leaves?
I have this same problem, and sometimes they break off and they die, but sometimes they sprout back out. When you go to pull them the next year, the parts that you're pulling that grew this year are hooked to a stump that, you know, gets bigger every year. So what I do is I've got a long screwdriver, and what I do is I reach down, I push down in the bottom with that down beside it, and I pull and I pry at the same time. They pop right out. Whole lot easier than pulling. They just pry them out. But some are going to sprout back out if they break off.
Okay, great. Thank you. I never thought of that.
All right, yeah. A little prime bar. Pulling and prying, a whole lot easier on the back and the hand, too.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Appreciate it. Man, we got the phones lined up this morning, Java. Let's go now to Wilkerson County and talk to Larry. Larry, how are you this morning?
Great. How you doing?
So far, so good. I got a magnolia flower in here. It's about to run me out of here. So sweet smelling. It's like a gardenia.
I love them. And, man, I love your show, too.
Well, good. Well, thanks for being part of it. What you got going on this morning?
Oh, look, I'm Native American. I'm Choctaw. And, I've got some wild persimmon trees I got growing in my yard. I picked up the seeds down in a swamp a few years ago hunting, and I got them going, and they're getting on up. And last year, I'm sitting here on my porch, and I seen a main growth of the tree. It just fell off. I got up and I walked out there and I looked, and there was a worm. He done cut all the way around and killed it. And I'm like, what in the world? And so I put seven dust in it, and it ain't deterred some of the bugs crawling up in those persimmon trees.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, do I have to put aluminum foil around the base, or what do I do to keep those things out of there from cutting my trees like that?
Well, I'm going to have to make an educated guess about what it is. There's a type of beetle that's called a twig girdler. And what it does is it climbs up the trees, and it's a kind of pretty long, skinny beetle, about half the size of your little finger. And what it does is it lays eggs in branches and twigs and stuff, and then it chews around and around and around until it girdles it, and that part breaks off, falls to the ground, and that puts the eggs and the larvae down close to the ground. It's a weird way to make a living, but that's what they do. And not a really good way to deter it, though, you know. But you say you got a pretty good number of trees out there, right?
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, there's not anything practical you can do. You can't really spray a tree. Seven dust and insecticides, they're designed to not last more than a few hours or a couple of 3 days, and then they're gone. So if you put it on today, next week it's gone, and the critters can come back then. So you'd have to be out there spraying and treating all the time. What I would do is I just pick up, you know, get the persimmons you can, and just, you know, be grateful for the largesse.
Yeah, well, they're not producing yet. They're still young.
Yeah.
And I'm just – then I see these little specks on some of the leaves.
You're looking too close now. There's lots of little fungi that leave spots on leaves and roses and persimmons and all sorts – and oak trees. They all have these little spots and stuff. Nothing practical you could do about that. So what I would do is I'd just get back on the porch and sit back and relax and enjoy what a pretty day it's going to be, because there ain't squat you can do about these kind of problems on trees. I wish there was, but there's really not.
I'm going to get some more seeds this winter and try to plant some more and
there
give them
go.
Out to other people. All right, man, look, I love your show.
Appreciate it. Thanks for being part of it.
All right.
And Java, here's a question he didn't ask with an answer to it. Persimmons that grow from seed are separate male or female trees, and you can't tell for 6, 7, 8 years till they mature whether you got males or females or which ones are which. So that's the reason I recommend people plant the Japanese persimmons, the Asian type persimmons. They're big, they're pretty, they're ornamental, and one tree will have all the persimmons that you could possibly eat. Just one of those stupid things to know.
Well, that was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Going back to Jackson, is this Jackson calling from Jackson?
Hello.
Hello, good morning.
I have a question on a nectarine tree that we got from
Macho's. Gotcha. What's the question?
Still won't give any fruit.
Yeah, a nectarine is all a nectarine is a peach with no fuzz. There's no difference between a nectarine and a peach, except the nectarine is smooth and a peach is fuzzy. Most of them need two different varieties to cross-pollinate each other. Not all peaches do, but peaches and plums and apples and pears a lot of times need two different varieties for either one of them to set fruit. So I suspect you just have one that's just lonesome. It needs another variety. And a peach will pollinate a nectarine. See, so if you get your little peach tree and put it near the nectarine, they'll both do a whole lot better. Does that help?
Okay, so we need to get another tree.
A different variety, not another one of the same tree. Two different varieties, either two different nectarines or a nectarine and a peach. That'll help. All righty?
Thank you.
Okay, appreciate your call. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on out there, Jav. A lot of people have questions.
That was interesting how you said you need a different kind of variety to help.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, some plants will produce all by themselves. Matter of fact, I brought a peach in there. Did Jason bring a knife?
Don't tell nobody.
Okay. This is a peach. It's an old heirloom peach called Indian Cling. cling because the seed in there sticks inside the fruit. It clings to it. But it's self-fertile. It blooms early. They're small. They're hard. They're great for pickling, but they taste okay. This one bloomed and has already fruited in spite of last December's freeze. Old-fashioned variety called Indian Cling, been grown in North America since the Spaniards introduced it in the 1600s, and it'll grow from seeds. Horticulturist Phil Rushing in Java, last week we broadcast live from Clarksdale from the Juke Joint Festival. That was kind of wild.
And it doesn't feel like a week. And like that was last Friday.
I
like,
know.
Wow.
I know. It was, and it was from the... And I keep saying cooperative.
Because
it's
it
not.
Means the same thing. It was the collective seed.
The collective seed. It used to be Miss Dale. As a matter of fact, way up high on the side of the building, right downtown Clarksdale, it says Miss Dale's.
Yeah, you can still see that painting.
Anyway, it was a lot of fun. Real folks coming out. You know, folks who don't have much in common with each other except gardening or plants or flowers and stuff like that. We had every possible kind of human being there. And we had a lot of fun. Some stuff I forgot to mention while we were there, but we still had a pretty good time. I did. One of the guys who came, though, gave me some. He's a rice grower, and he brought me some different kind of rice. Excuse me. But one of them is a bag of rice grits, and I'm just not sure about that. First of all, grits ain't rice. So I'm not sure how to cook rice grits or whether you put butter on them or sugar, or different ways of eating grits. I don't know.
Well, you should never put sugar on grits. Just point blank. Period. But
you're one of those.
But the rice grits are. I mean, you should have asked this question on Monday when you were on Deep South Dining.
Oh, I had so much fun on Deep South. I had so much fun with that. But I could call them in Monday. I could call in Monday on Deep South Dining.
You could, because rice grits, they are. It is a grit. It's just a different type of.
Okay,
of
so
grit.
So grit just means chopped up stuff.
Yeah. So you would probably cook it like grits, and like I said, do not put sugar on it.
Well, I actually put butter and a little milk and sugar on mine, but we're going to get along, Java. It's a weird world. We're going to get along, brother. But anyway, while I was there that evening, also the next day, I stayed overnight. Next day, I had this fellow who's had opened up a brewery right next to Miss Dale's, but he had root beer and ginger beer, which are non-alcoholic. Root beer and ginger beer brewed in Mississippi, besides Barks.
He brewed the ginger beer?
Yeah.
Love a good ginger beer.
But, Java, I've got three events coming up. Next week is National Library Week. And, all the libraries encouraging people who normally don't go to libraries and haven't been there for a while to come in and check out what they've got, the displays and the new way of doing things. And I'm giving three talks in libraries around Mississippi this next week. One is on the 26th, which is Tuesday at noon. I'm going to be at the Winona Library. Let me see. No. We're going to back it up. Louisville on the 25th. That's Tuesday. Louisville Library. And it's going to be at 11:30. It's going to be a noontime talk in Louisville at the library on Tuesday. That same day, I'm going to slide down to Carthage at the Lee County Library. And we're going to do a plant swap and a talk at 3:00. So Louisville at noon on Tuesday at the library. And then Carthage Library at 3:00, plant swap and a little talk. And then on the 26th, I'm doing a talk in Winona at the library, Winona. So anyway, a lot of stuff going on. Love yakking with folks because, again, this is a egalitarian group. It's not horticulturists. It's not garden club. There are some horticulture, are some garden clubs, are some master gardeners, but it's mostly garden variety gardeners who a lot of times are non-joiner, just want to get together and yak, and that's what we're going to do. So I had an interesting thing last night, Java, in the middle of the night, heard a screech, womp, mew. Any idea what that would be?
A bad sequence of events for somebody.
Apparently a raccoon, probably a baby raccoon, was walking across my tin roof and slid down. And I heard its claws all the way, whoomp, and it went, mew, poor me. And after a while, I was going to go out and check on it. I heard some stirring. So anyway, a little baby raccoon slid off my roof. Not only in Mississippi, but only on the Gestalt Garden. We can talk about stuff like that.
There you go.
And Do you have the information? Master Gardeners in Rankin County having a plant sale?
Rankin County Master Gardeners. It's a rain or shine event because I'm not sure what the weather is tomorrow, but it's raining right now. But
Supposed to be nice tomorrow.
Okay, so at the Rankin County Extension Building, 601 Marquette Road, 8 a.m. until noon. They got a lot of things. Good old fashioned plant sale. Pass along plants, herbs, and succulents, and perennials, and house plants. It's all going to be there tomorrow, Rankin County Extension Building.
And the Hinds County Group is having theirs next weekend at Monell Gardens. So a lot of plant sales going on right here. By the way, I noticed you said herbs. Did you pick that up from me?
I guess so. I didn't even notice it.
You said herbs because it got an H in it. A lot of people say herb because they heard it say herb. The Herb Society of America says either is correct. And the only way you're wrong is to correct somebody else. But herb is how they say it in French. Herb is how they say it in English. I don't know how they say it in German. I don't know. But it's not going to be one of those. It might be yarb. I don't know. And we're going to talk about gardening right up until the end of the hour. There was something I was supposed to talk about last week that I forgot what it was that I was going to be talking about.
Something that came up in Clarksdale?
Yeah. Anyway, we'll think about it. I do have an heirloom. I brought in this piece. Did you ever get a knife?
We did. We're going to cut it up when we get to our cheesy tune.
Oh, okay. Well, I brought in my native plant of the week is Magnolia grandiflora. It's our state tree and our state flower. This is called Little Jim. It'll fit on a salad bowl. It's a small thing. The leaves are much smaller than my hand. It's tidy. It's a big bush, not a small tree. But Little Jim magnolia is the longest blooming magnolia that you can have. It blooms from March and April all the way up to October. It fits like a shrub, Little Jim magnolia. The edible I brought in was some different kind of basil. I got regular sweet basil. I've got African blue basil, which is the best butterfly and hummingbird plant. And I've got purple ruffles basil. But a lot of people don't think of basil as a flower. If you got a flower bed, put basil in it. It doesn't have to be grown in a herb garden. It's a pretty plant, got good foliage. And if you feel like eating it, you can. But basil is an excellent full sun or part shade summer annual. Lots of different kinds out there. And just because it's a herb doesn't mean you have to use it as a herb. Matter of fact, it ain't a herb unless you use it. Java's a stupid thing, but a bicycle is not transportation till you get on it and ride. Well, basil is not a herb unless you cook with it. It's just a pretty plant otherwise. We often overlook that kind of thing. So, Java, what do you think? Indian cling peas. That's been grown since the 1600s in Southeast United States.
That's pretty good. That's a nice – it's not as sweet, but it has great flavor.
And it's not that kind of had juice run down your face. It's more of a cooking – you know, they have cooking pears and slices and cooking apples. Anyway, it's one of those.
I was just about to say that. It would be probably perfect to cook with.
And what my grandmother used to do is she would stick cloves in it and she would pickle them. And save them for like Thanksgiving and stuff like that. But anyway, Indian cling is an old variety. It was introduced by the Spaniards into Mexico, and it was almost immediately moved its way north from Native Americans. They would grow it, they say, because it grows from seed, and it pollinates by itself. Anyway, by the time English made it to New England, it was already grown because it had been spread so quickly by Native Americans. That's the reason it's called Indian cling. So anyway, just an oddball thing there. Want to do a couple of things, but let's take care of business first. Let's talk to folks who calling in. We're going to start in Hernando with Mike. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, Bubba Felder. I heard you call yourself that the other week, and it's got me laughing at
I'm
sense.
Looking like a Bubba.
Hey, a little levity. You're talking about H-E-R-B and E-R-B in the pronunciation of the word.
Yeah.
You'll love this. I was in television for 20 years, and we had a production guy whose name was Herb, and he insisted that we call him Herb, and we finally figured it out. I said, "What? That's not how your name is spelled." He said, "That's pronunciation."
Yeah.
So I thought you'd get a kick out of that.
Yeah, and, you know, he's just being a jerk about it.
Oh yeah, he was a comedian.
Yeah. So anyway, we have.
I'll never stop forget calling you Bubba. That was my favorite.
Bubba, when I look like I swim twice a week at a pool at associated with a hospital nearby, and I walk there, and I wear jeans and old black t-shirts. I got scraggly hair. I've got what looks like a backpack, but it's really a man purse with my swimming trunks and stuff. Anyway, lady, I was there one time, and after a couple of months, she said, "Felder, I just recognized you. For months, I didn't know who you were. I thought you were just a homeless guy who had worked his way into the pool somehow." So a bubble, and but I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. So anyway,
I hope so, because I've seen your picture.
Well, I appreciate your call, man. Thank you. All right, now we're gonna go to Joe or Homer. Let's go to Joe. Joe down in the kiln. What's up, Joe? Down on the coast.
Hey, real quick, I want to thank you for taking the call, first of all.
Sure.
And it's just a real quick question that I have for you. I'm getting ready to plant some butterfly ginger, and my wife and I were talking, and we do a lot of cooking of curry.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if that rhizome is edible as a ginger.
It is, but if you like really curry, are you a heat person? You a vindaloo or just a madras hot or what?
No, I'm a really heat, hot person. My wife is not, though, so she's kind of
Mom. She will like that. The ginger, the butterfly ginger, sometimes called ginger lily, the Latin name is Hedicium, starts with the H-E-D, Hedicium, is perfectly edible, but it's mild. It's not zesty like the Zinzibar type of ginger. But that whole group, there's a whole group of them that are perfectly edible. There's one called curcuma. And there's some kind of herb. What is that herb that everybody always talking about eating that's good for their health?
Cumin?
Turmeric. Turmeric and curcuma and ginger, butterfly ginger. They're all gingers, and you can eat them. But they're just not zesty like the real ginger.
Great. Well, I thank you so much. You ended the question for us, so I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, there's a fellow over not far from you. There's a fellow over in Louisiana who specializes in lots of different kinds. They got incredible flowers. So, grow them also because they're pretty.
Well, that's the second reason I'm growing them, because they're pretty, they smell fragrant, and it was killing two birds with one stone. We usually have just a spice garden,
but you
wanted flowers this year, so I'm trying to do both.
Well, this Hedicium, this is one that will also grow in wet soil, so if you got a kind of low wet area, it's a really good one for there,
too. We're definitely swampy down here by the coast, so.
All righty, man. Yeah. Well, tell her I said, hey, Joe, y'all have fun. Hey, call us, let us know how both you and she perceive how it tastes.
Great. I appreciate that. Thank you, and I will do that.
Okie dokie. Now, there's an arrow in here. I'm not sure. Java, somebody's messing with me on the screen. There's arrows moving around on the screen. I'm not touching anything. But one's pointing to Biloxi, but there's one on the lion. Which one do we go to?
Yeah, let's go to our friend Homer, because he is up next.
I got a big old hug from Homer from up in Lyon. Clarksdale is, in case you're not sure, Clarksdale is a suburb of Lyon, Mississippi. Morning, Homer. How are you?
That's it. Hey, Phil. How you doing,
Good, Tom? Good to see you. What's up, man?
Okra, Phil. I asked you about okra last year. I planted a couple of rows of it, and it's just amazing. The production on this stuff, I had no clue. Is it any type of fertilizer or anything? I'm getting, as soon as the ground dried, I was trying to get it in the ground before we got this big rain. But.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, okra is one of those rare plants. It's from Africa. It likes hot, miserable, dry, horrible conditions, so it doesn't really need a lot. If you give it too much fertilizer, you get the prettiest stems. You climb the stems, you won't get as many flowers or the seed pods. So fertilize it very lightly, just a little bit of fertilizer, get them started, and they'll do fine. What variety are you growing? Do you know yet?
No, I buy it down in Miss Dale's. I mean,
Miss Dale's. Still call it Miss Dale's.
Yeah. And another thing I want to ask you about seeds. Now, I bought some seeds, green seeds, the fall last year. And I actually put the ground up, caught it where I could break the ground. I just, you know, sometime out. But I don't know. The seeds didn't come up well. I don't know whether it was the weather. The seeds get a little too old sometimes.
They can, but what kind of seed? Are we still talking about okra?
Well, greens.
Greens, okay, greens. Yeah. You know, green seeds, lettuces and mustards and turnips and all like that, they're really, really small. And if it gets a hard rain or if it rains and they start to sprout, then it turns dry, they start sending that little tiny root out of the seed, and if it turns dry, it can die. See, so with small seeded stuff like greens, you need to be able to just lightly wet them down every day or so. Just wet it down so those seeds get started and they don't dry out before they have a chance to get their root down in the dirt. So, you know, that helps a lot. You know, just getting them started and then getting them down into the ground, and they can take it from there.
Okay. I got a few that came up, but they just...
Yeah,
really? I just had greens everywhere, but same thing this year.
It was probably just, you know, bad combination of weather. You know, they're tiny little seeds. You got to sort of baby them. Hey, let me give you a real quick tip about okra. This is something, and I don't even eat okra. I don't like okra unless you fry it, put a lot of ketchup on it. But I love growing it because it is a beautiful member of the hibiscus family. There's a variety called Burgundy that's got the leaves are almost red. The pods are burgundy. They turn green when you cook them. But here's a trick on planting okra. Soak the seeds for 5 minutes in plain old Clorox, plain old chlorine bleach. Soak them for 5 minutes, rinse them two or three times, set them aside, and within 2 days they've cracked open. You can drop them right where you want them. They'll come right up. 5 minutes in chlorine bleach. This is something an old-timer taught me, this, and it works like it. They're going to sprout so fast that you don't need to do it today because they're going to sprout before we can get back out in the garden.
But it's just straight Clorox, not diluted.
Just straight Clorox. You know, it doesn't take much. Just put them in there, swirl it around, soak it for 5 minutes, rinse them, and then, you know, put them in just a little water so they don't dry out. But they'll be cracked open in a day and a half, ready to go.
Okay, appreciate it. They do take a while to come up if you just plant them straight. I'll do that.
All righty, man. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Good to see you last week. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Good to meet you.
Yeah.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
And Homer was a bit of a star.
He was. He showed up. Everybody wanted to talk to Homer. By the way, okra. Java, have you ever heard about switching okra? Have we talked about that before?
Is that where you kind of hit it a little bit?
Take a stick to it.
Yeah.
And you beat it up a little bit, and it stimulates more flowers and more pods. Crazy, crazy thing. So still taking calls, right?
Yeah, let's go up to Gulfport. I think it's Shelly.
Shelly, good morning. We've gone from way up there to way down there. What's going on today?
A couple of questions. I have got amaryllis bulbs in some raised flower beds.
Mm-hmm. Pretty ones.
And I'm not doing something right because probably out of 25 bulbs, I had 5 that bloomed. And I've got green leaves. But no blooms.
Yeah, are these all fancy kinds, or that red one that I grow?
I have some of all of them. I have like red, solid red. Uh-huh. I have some like with the red stripe.
Right. Well, the reason I'm asking, because a lot of hybrid plants are kind of fussy. You know, the ones you see around old home sites, you know, that's the ones you can count on. But when you start getting into different varieties and bigger flowers and fancier stuff, they get a little bit more picky about stuff. And, you know, they may sulk a little bit more. Also, amaryllis is one of the few bulbs that really it really likes not necessarily wet soil, but they can take wet soil. And it might be that yours are just drying out too quick in that raised bed. That's just an educated guess. But, you know, I grow mine in just plain old dirt, plain old clay, and they about half of mine bloom. So I think it might just be some of your hybrids might not be blooming as well. But also, if you give them just a tiny bit of fertilizer, not much, just a little fertilizer, and water them, if we go 2 or 3 weeks without a good rain, give them a good soaking, that'll help them form their bigger bulbs and flower buds for next year.
What type of fertilizer?
Any kind. I would, for gardens, I never recommend agriculture. For triple 13, triple A, I don't recommend those in the garden because they're harsh and they're strong and they're temporary. But any stuff that they sell for flowers, any kind of flowering, shrub food, vegetable food, it's all the same stuff. But use something that's got a nice, long, slow, gentle feeding like they sell for flowers or vegetables.
Okay. Now, the other question I have is, with the cold weather that we had this year, my Indian hawthorns, which are hedges across the front of the house,
mm-hmm.
just like the front side of the plant,
right?
Looks like the cold got it.
Yeah, it killed a lot of them up in North Mississippi.
The plant itself is not dead, but the front, kind of the top and the front, are. Do I need to just like cut it out? It's going to look like somebody took a bite out of it.
It will, but you know, you've seen people cut shrubs way, way back. It's called rejuvenation. Sometimes you take a big shrub and just cut it back to a foot tall and it sprouts back out again. That's an old horticulture practice called rejuvenation pruning, and they sprout out stronger than ever, really fast. And then at new growth, because the roots are intact, the top part really grows fast. So if you want to cut them back pretty far, and when the new growth comes out, if you'll snip the tips off the new growth, then instead of shooting up long and tall, it'll branch out. So rejuvenation pruning, pruning harder than you really want, and then tip pruning the new growth, and it'll fill out quicker than you can imagine. And by the way, we had a bay tree, you know, old bay laurel that you cook with at the Ag Museum in Jackson, planted back in the 80s. Okay, we're talking about a long time ago. It got killed completely to the ground by this freeze. I cut it down, and it's already got shoots that are more than a foot tall coming up from the ground. So don't be afraid to cut it. Your neighbors will understand.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Okay. Good luck on the amaryllis. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All righty. Now let's slide to Holly Branch. Bob, not sure where Holly Branch is.
This is Bob.
Yeah. But where's Holly Branch?
Oh, it's Olive Branch.
Olive Branch. Branch. Okay. Okay. Our phone greeter misunderstood you.
That's okay.
What's up?
My question was, I have noticed that I have lost some shrubs that were looking good in the fall, but
uh-huh.
the spring and in North Mississippi, I've noticed a lot of shrubs in the other locations is just lost them. They just dried up and died, I guess. I didn't know if you had had anybody say anything about that, or if y'all have know anything about that, what happened.
But I don't even have to ask anybody. It happened in my yard, too. I lost some plants. I lost an 80-year-old shrub in front of my house to the freeze. And it was two things. It was an early hard freeze, early before plants had a chance to settle down for winter. So it caught plants a little too tender back in December. And then when they started putting out new growth, we had a late freeze that was normal, but there's too much new growth. So it's a 1-2 punch. This has happened all over the South, but particularly, I mean, even on the coast, we've had some plants damaged by that winter. All you can do is to prune and hope to put out some new growth. That's it. That's all I can do.
Okay. All right. Well, that answers my question, man.
Let me give you something you could do, though. Go out with a pocket knife or a kitchen knife or something and barely scrape on the bark. Just scrape a little bit of the bark off. And if it's bright green right under the bark, it's alive. If it's brown beneath the bark, keep scraping. Practice on some plants that look okay till you can see where that green is. If it's not bright green under the bark, that part's dead. You need to cut down below there.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it.
All right.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. We never got around to the question nobody asked.
Yeah, because this show has been like a breeze, lightning rush show.
Well, I'm saving it for next week, but it's a question nobody asks, and I got the answer. So
okay.
We're going to do that next week. Do that next week. And we got this new app thing. What's the app?
Yeah,
Come on, John. I'm an old guy.
The MPB Public Media app, a lot of people already have it on your phone, but we have a brand new feature. It's called Talk to Us. So you just open up the app in the menu bar. You click the feature that says Talk to Us. And they could do it right now and send a voice note, a picture, or even a video to the Gestalt Gardener, like right
gonna,
now.
Is it come to my phone?
No, it's not going to come to your phone.
Because I think I might have to slurp down this beer real quick and answer that question.
No, it's not going to come to your phone. It comes to our email. Okay. But it is a great new app.
How do you
get
it?
A great new feature.
How you get it?
It's inside the MPB Public Media app.
So, okay.
So download the app and you have the feature. And gotcha. Just talk to us.
Well, somebody give it a try. I want to see if this works. You young people and all your gadgets and stuff. Horticulture's Felder Rushing, and it looks like we got Fletch on the road and Fletch and Alligator. Which Fletch and Alligator's gone. I bet he's on the road in Alligator, Mississippi, which is along Hey, Fletch, is this you, Fletch?
Yes, sir.
Were you calling from Alligator, Mississippi?
On the road between Clarksdale and Cleveland.
Yeah, man, that's rural, Alligator, Mississippi. What's going on this morning?
So, question, the centipede food that you recommended said water it in afterwards.
Yeah, they just say that.
Until this rain, what's that?
Yeah, they just say that. You know, they can't just leave blank space. They got to put all sorts of stuff that most people figure out. And it's not that big a deal. The main thing is just get it off the leaves so it doesn't burn a hole in the leaf on its way to the roots.
Okay.
But okay. It's not that big a deal.
If I put it on when it's damp tomorrow. No problem with that.
It'd be better if you could wash it off the leaves. You know, fertilizer, you know, is safe and all, but some of the ingredients in there can if they stick to a leaf, you know, leaf is kind of tender, you know, it can make a little burn spot. But then it'll drop on down the ground, so, you know, it's not that big a deal. But if you could water it in, just wash it off the leaves, it'll start growing quicker, too.
Okay, I thought the wash part was activating the fertilizer. Really, it's just cleaning it off the leaves.
Yeah, and both of them. You know, it's just like anything else. You know, if you're working around a saw or something, you got to brush the sawdust off you every now and then. That's the idea. And then take a shower later.
Good deal. Thank you, sir. Take care.
Appreciate it, Fletch. Thank you. All righty. I don't know where that came from. Oh, I know where it was. I had to repair a hole in my roof. And I had to pull the ceiling down and pull the insulation down to find out where the leak was from. And I mean, I got insulation and solder all over me. It was great because, you know, this guy said I look like a Bubba. I mean, Java, I look like a Bubba. And I had on a ball cap and I was covered with sawdust.
Just a day's work, man.
I know. I felt kind of good. Felt kind of good about it. There's a lot of stuff going on, folks, right now. It's time to plant stuff. The weather's kind of weird. But one of the things I'd encourage you, if you're new to gardening and you're not sure where to start, it's like eating an elephant. You don't have to do the whole thing. Take it a bite at a time. The trick is start at the right end because you don't know where you're going to end up. But when it comes to gardening, the easiest thing anybody can do is get a big pot, one you can barely put your arms around. You don't even have to fill it up with potting soil. You can put an upside-down plastic pot in the bottom. And then just plant you some herbs. Plant you some culinary herbs. You don't have to eat them. They'll look good and it'll make you feel good. Let's slide down to Gulfport now and see what Bob is up to. Bob, good morning.
Hey, Felder. I love your show. I'm the Bob Rose tailgate art for you.
Okay. Well, wait. Remind me. I got my bifocals on. I don't know what we're talking about.
I grew moss on my tailgate.
Oh, yeah. You grew moss on your tailgate. I got it now. How's it doing?
Oh, it's doing good. But I called about the crepe myrtle problem that people seem to be having.
Yep.
I became aware of this about 4 or 5 years ago. And in the 1960s, the late 60s, before I went in the Navy, I was visiting my grandparents in West Point, Mississippi, and I just happened on a set of Encyclopedia of Gardening.
Yeah.
It was very old, and the old man that was selling it apparently got out of the business.
Yeah.
I looked in there, and there was a recipe for painting the bark of these trees with a combination of pickling lime,
yeah,
lard, and a couple other things.
Yeah, I'm real familiar with it. And unfortunately, that won't work on this particular scale. This.
Well, I'll tell you what I did, though.
Okay, keep in mind, we're starting to run out of time, so make it quick.
I'll be real quick. I took the pickling lime, mixed some diatomaceous earth with it, painted the bark on the great myrtles, and it killed everything other than the tree.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We're out of time. And this works for things that crawl up the trunk, but that's not how the scale. The scale can get on it from up above that. That's the problem. That's the problem. So treating the trunk is fine for some things, but not for things that come in from thin air. But anyway, it's a good tip, and I appreciate that. So, Jav, I guess we're about out of time, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. Like I said, this has been a whirlwind, man. We were out in Clarksdale last week, which doesn't feel like a week. And now we're back in the studio, and this hour came and went.
Yeah. Now, I can't remember the whole name of it, but you know the blues thing that we have here on MPB with Scott Beretta?
Yeah, Highway 61.
Highway 61. Well, I had a chance to chat with Scott, and I sort of kicked some. Oh, we were knocking around ideas over homemade Clarksdale brewed root beer, and he has sent me some tunes that are blues related. That if I can figure out how to download them and edit them, we can put them on this program. But Scott, I appreciate that. Between the blues and food on Deep South Dining and gardening, we got all three of the main things that connect people together. Food, music, and gardening. And I'm glad to be part of that trio here on Mississippi Public Broadcasting. Java, it's good to see you, man. We need to get on the road.
We're going to figure out some weird place to go.
All righty. Well, until then, folks, if you get a chance, go to a farmer's market, go to a garden center, take a kid with you or a neighbor who can't drive, and help them pick out a pot and put some culinary herbs, a couple of flowers, anything that grows, and you don't have to have much space. I grow stuff in the back of a pickup truck. So anyway, the main thing is get out and do what we all do best, folks, and that's get dirty. We'll see y'all next week.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.